Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, a lot of developments over the break. Things moving fast here.
You're dying over there for some reason.
I got a frog in my throat.
You got a tot? Were you eating some spicy Cajun tots?
No, I literally have a frog in my throat. I'm a magician.
Crammed one down in there. Have you seen that guy that like regurgitates stuff?
Yeah, that's why I said that.
That guy's creepy.
Why is that creepy?
Well, he can like put down like wooden nickels with numbers on them, then he can bring them up like in order.
It's the same as like the sword thing. They basically just practice to get rid of the gag reflex. It's not that impressive.
I don't know. I find that very weird. You could swallow a light bulb and bring that thing up. I find that to be impressive.
So your picks are in.
Yeah, my picks are in. I did them over a break and a half.
1080thefan.com. Compete against us.
A lot of thought went into my picks.
Fan bracket. You can win. There's like $2,500 worth of stuff on there.
Yeah,
that you can win.
Yeah, you can win a big TV and whatnot.
So go to 1080thefan.com. Also, Mike has obtained Mike Francesa audio of him talking about the Oregon Wisconsin game.
Yes, and I'll leave it to you to determine whether or not that he has any idea that the caller throws out the player who is a character from the movie The Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
Not the Oregon Ducks roster. If Francesa has any idea that is the case.
All right, in the news at 4:30, USC's new president talk here in a moment. They just hired a new president. First female in 139-year history of the university.
Oh, look at them being progressive.
And we wouldn't talk about this if it weren't kind of funny.
Yeah.
And it is.
There's a little...
Yeah, there's a twist. So we'll get to that in a second, but here is Francesa. Okay, so we like to make fun of this guy. He's New York radio host, WFAN.
So,
Mike and the Mad Dog knows nothing, like pays attention to nothing.
No.
But makes millions of dollars.
And claims to be the foremost expert on every sport.
Yeah, we figured out that he basically, what's that term again when like psychics?
He cold reads people.
He cold reads.
Yeah.
But not people. He cold reads about games.
He'll speak in generalities.
Yeah. He'd be like tonight's game, for example, Arizona State's playing,
who did the Sun Devils?
St. John's.
Yeah.
And they're from New York, you know, so he's like, oh, that game, great matchup, especially when you look at the coaches.
But he won't tell you who the coaches are because he doesn't know. I'm sure he knows that.
He knows, though.
Well, he knows who St. John's coach is.
It's Chris Mullin against
Bobby Hurley.
Bobby Hurley.
I'll bet you he does not know that Bobby Hurley is the coach at Arizona State.
And then he'll say things like, well, you know, they had a good season, not a great season, which, yeah, they're in the playing game. You know, it's just like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a cold reading psychic.
So people often call him on his show. He takes a ton of calls and they call him and they try to call him out or like stump him.
Yeah. So he was just taking calls and people would throw out games. And then he would break them down for people. And so someone called in and asked him what he thought of the Ducks. And this is his attempt to break down Wisconsin and Oregon.
Dave and Mattawan. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
Long time.
What's happening?
No, I was just looking at the brackets, looking at some upsets. And, you know, I kind of like the Ducks. I think they have a pretty
No, they have a good team. They can win that game for sure. Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah. What do you think about Dean Portman in the paint? He's a little bit of a bruiser.
Listen, Oregon is a team that is very good defensively. They are a team that had a weird year that everyone knows is always very well coached. Is always very good defensively. They've held a lot of teams down defensively this year. They're going to beat you with defense. I don't like this Wisconsin team. The other thing I don't like about this Wisconsin team is it does not hit its free throws. And I'm telling you, that's not something you expect from a Wisconsin team either. Wisconsin's terrible on the foul line this year. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, because they're a bunch of white guys.
Now,
that so, actually was not the
yeah,
worst
Yeah, that's not
breakdown.
Bad at all.
Do you? Have,
He's
do,
read up.
Do you believe
No, he has no idea.
That he had any idea?
No.
That Dean Portman was not a member of the Ducks basketball team. He just glossed that over because he's like, I don't know who that is, so I'm just going to pretend that it didn't happen.
Well, like a true pro, yeah, you never want to take the bait. Like, he knew, because he was unsure, he just glossed over it. But he had done his homework on the Ducks. He read a paragraph on Oregon.
I wanted nothing more than him to agree and be like, oh, yeah, big bruiser in the middle. Dean Portman is a character from the Mighty Ducks movie. I wanted him to, again, does he know that Dana Altman is the coach of the Ducks?
Well, he said they're very well coached, always. So, but again, that's just aren't all these teams well coached? Every team in the tournament is well coached.
Yes.
Give me the poorest coached team in the tournament. Maybe Minnesota? Pitino's kid?
Yeah, Pitino's kid.
He's just a bastard.
I'm looking up to see what Wisconsin shoots from the free throw line. I guess if he had that,
97%.
I did not know that Wisconsin shoots poorly from the free throw line.
I didn't either. Again, he read a blurb on SI.com about that game.
He saw something.
Okay. What do we have?
Oh, he shoots 64%.
Ooh.
For almost 65.
Dude, that's really bad.
So that is not good. No.
That's awful.
That is awful. I don't think I've ever heard of a team shooting as a team for a full season that bad from the free throw line.
No.
Holy crap.
It is.
Is that last in? Can you give me some hot free throw stats?
I will look up the, you want the Big Ten or the NCAA?
No, I want the whole, all 389 billion teams.
Might take me a second, but I will find that for you.
Okay, USC has a new president and they have selected, they interviewed over 100 candidates. Okay, so this is a very big deal.
I would say so. A university president's kind of a big deal.
I got the stat for you.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
Manhattan is the worst in Division I at a 58.4% free throw rate.
How does that even...
Blip, blip. I'm guessing you're long and athletic, but you can't shoot a free throw.
But Wisconsin is 333rd.
Yeah, so there's got to be... There's no other major team.
Yes, there is.
Okay, who?
USC. 64.1%.
So same as Wisconsin.
Yep. Rutgers, not major, I guess, but... Power 5, 63.7%.
Any tournament teams that are that bad?
St. Louis, 350, 59%.
How's that St. Louis pick looking now, huh, pal?
I have to go back and change. Where does Cincinnati rank? Because I've got them in the Final Four for a reason.
Wait, who's their coach?
I don't know.
Really good coach. Really good coach.
You know what?
Is it still Mick Cronin? Is he still there?
They're well coached. They play hard.
I can see them winning this game. I can see them losing this game.
Hell if I know.
I think it is Mick Cronin.
I don't know.
He's a red ass. okay, where were we? You guys are derailing.
USC.
Me. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh. It is Cronin, by the way.
Yeah, see, I knew that.
Old Mick. So you know they're going to be well coached. They're going to be a tough out, right? They're going to play defense. They're going to play scrappy.
Yeah, good team. Had a good year.
Up and down year. Weird year.
Weird year.
Weird
but,
year.
But, you know, I think they're... You know, they're seven. That's more than a six. That's less than an eight, though. So, you know, oftentimes when you're less than an eight, you got a better chance than a nine.
Thoroughly enjoying
that's
your...
That's oftentimes what they say.
Thoroughly enjoying your...
You know, when you watch these tournaments, you got to look for the teams that are less than an eight but more than a six. You got to look for those teams over there. They're the great teams. It's really shockingly good.
The best part is your Francesa starts as Francesa, but then there's some Trump in there as well.
They kind of talk alike.
It morphs into one.
And then you kind of get into a little Tony Soprano in there, too.
It's a nice conglomerate.
That's how I do it.
I enjoy it.
Okay, this woman's name is Carol L. Folt. And you always have to have the middle initial in there because it's an important job.
Yes. Like if you were to become a university president, it's not Isaac Robb.
No.
Isaac E. Robb.
This is correct.
Although, you know, I've long said that if you end up with a prestigious job, which will not happen, you should not go as Isaac E. Robb. You should go as I. Everett Robb.
Yes. That's a badass name.
University president, I. Everett Robb. Are you kidding me?
And there's a little mystery in it, too, because they're like, what's the I stand for?
You know that guy's ready to drop the hammer. You're a no-nonsense guy. You're bringing the heat.
So she is, shockingly... Okay, so USC hired her as the president, first female president in USC's 139-year history.
Yeah.
This will stun you, she is the recently departed chancellor from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Who last time I checked just got done overseeing a bit of an academic scandal.
Okay, so to be fair to Ms. Folt or Mrs. Folt, when she took over the job at North Carolina, it says she has considerable experience with high-profile campus controversies. She arrived at North Carolina in 2013, shortly after revelations of a long-running and vast academic fraud involving Tar Heel athletes and no-show classes. As chancellor, she implemented reforms and dealt with an NCAA investigation. Basically, she gets credit for being the one that came up with the
strategy, right?
The defense. And I don't know if you, we're going to take a break here. And then when we come back, I'm going to tell you the defense that North Carolina used because it was genius.
It really is. It's the greatest defense in the history of an NCAA scandal.
Missouri had the same type of academic fraud going on, not quite as widespread, not nearly as widespread.
No.
But Missouri got punished.
North Carolina did not.
No. And Mrs. Folt here had a hand in that. And we'll talk about that next. 414 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
In the news next, spring has become. We'll talk about that. We will.
Are you all right over
what?
There?
What?
It's like you're turning into Mike Leach.
I just have a frog in my throat. Could you please stop pointing it out?
Do I need to come over there and Heimlich you?
No, thank you.
Well, I don't. Believe me, it's not me pointing it out. I think everyone else has figured it out.
Well, just forget about it.
It's figured it out by now.
Maybe in the future, don't say Heimlich you. Say use the Heimlich maneuver.
Would you like me to come over there and pump you? You want three pumps or two pumps?
My wife gave me three pumps. Tater tot night.
Didn't work, huh?
No, it didn't.
I'll tell you what. I guarantee you I'm a one pump.
And yeah. It didn't come out.
I'm going to pump hard.
Tell you what, it hurt when... So I did choke on a tater tot once at a restaurant. It was bad.
I know, you almost died, which again, I would have felt bad, but at your funeral, I would have in my mind been like,
passed out a tray of tots.
Can't believe he died of a tater tot, and I would have had to chuckle
a little. It would have been unfortunate.
Yes.
That's not a good way to go.
No.
But my wife got up, she being the nurse, and she gave me three Heimlichs.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. And then a buddy of mine got up, and he just went, I'd be like, he was like, oh my God, and I almost puked. But it worked.
I feel like of all the things that I could do, I feel like Heimlich maneuver is going to be high on the list of things that I would be good at.
Why?
I think I can generate a lot of force.
Yeah. You like doing it from behind, don't you?
I do. I like that reverse pump.
So Carol, is that right? Carol? Hello?
I don't remember what her name was. Folt, right?
Carol L. Folt.
I remember Folt.
Thanks for playing along.
I don't remember what her first name is.
New president at USC.
Says
she arrived at North Carolina in 2013, shortly after revelations of a long-running and vast academic fraud. Much of her final years at Chapel Hill were consumed with a conflict over a Confederate monument that many students deemed racist and wanted removed. State law protects such monuments, and in January, after Folt ordered the statue moved to storage, she was forced from the chancellor's post.
Mm. So she was forced out in disgrace at North Carolina, but USC is going to welcome her with open arms.
Yes, I think you're getting that.
All right.
That
sounds about right. Now, remember that USC is in the middle of paying out $200 million-plus for that sexual harassment lawsuit involving their university's gynecologist.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Now everybody's moved on to the fake...
Yeah, to the fake bribery or...
The admissions scandal.
Let's not forget that they are paying out just the... And the, this is just the tip of the iceberg. $215 million.
In the eyes of some observers, this final act in which she sided with students and against a memorial steeped in racism allowed her to redefine a tenure that had previously received mixed reviews. In her 6 years at North Carolina, she was sometimes criticized as a weak leader who was pushed around by conservative Republican political appointees who governed the state university system. Well, anyway, she is credited with basically coming up with the defense to get North Carolina out of hot water for the academic scandal.
Yeah, she Cochraned the hell out of it. She pulled a, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So Missouri got punished for academic fraud. North Carolina did not.
Missouri got punished hard.
Yes.
I mean, they were saying the Missouri punishment might have been the stiffest since USC got dinged for the Reggie Bush stuff.
And Missouri's sitting here going, what the hell?
Are you kidding me?
North Carolina's was far longer and deeper.
Yeah, Missouri basically had, was it one or two tutors that were caught doing work for students, whereas North Carolina had a decade-long fake major.
This from Sports Illustrated. If you're wondering why Missouri was punished but UNC was not. Now, Carol Folt, the new USC president, was at the heart of this. It said, from Sports Illustrated, they write, UNC's defense was brilliant. The NCAA doesn't have a rule against having an entire department full of fake classes that is open to every student on campus. The NCAA's enforcement staff tried to accuse North Carolina of giving athletes, quote, extra benefits, which was incredibly stupid because the NCAA's definition of an extra benefit is basically something that isn't available to the entire student body. So the classes were available to the entire student body. It's an airtight defense, and it worked. Members of the Committee on Infractions who work for schools and conferences knew they couldn't punish North Carolina because if North Carolina sued in real court, the verdict from the NCAA's kangaroo court would never hold up. The members of the Committee on Infractions who handled the Missouri case pointed out this difference in the report that they released. The conduct at issue in this case is also distinguishable from the Committee on Infractions decision in the North Carolina Chapel Hill case. Among other differences, UNC stood by the courses and the grades it awarded student athletes. In support of that position, UNC asserted courses were created and graded by an office secretary. Student athletes completed their own work. Here, by contrast, Missouri acknowledged that the tutor completed student athletes' work for, and in most instances, this conduct violated its honor code. This is a massive cop-out that also happens to be 100% accurate.
Listen to this, just for to put it in simpler terms. Missouri had one tutor that did work for a handful of athletes, and they got drilled for this. North Carolina made up an entire fake department with no teachers and no classes, and it went on for a decade. And remember, like, almost all the members of their national championship basketball team were on this. All the football players took this, and it didn't matter because anyone could have signed up for it. It's the greatest defense of all time. And there, the argument is this was not an NCAA punishment. This was a... what would you call it? What's the, when a school is accredited, right? There's a board that accredits colleges, that it's not the NCAA. Like, in order for you to be a college, you have to go and get accredited through a separate, like a board. I forget what the name of it was, but they're saying this is not an NCAA issue. This is a matter of academic fraud that we have to deal with as far as being an accredited university. And so therefore this doesn't fall in your jurisdiction. It was the most brilliant thing. Our fraud was so bad and so widespread, you can't punish us
for
it.
And the key there is they stood by it.
Yes.
They didn't admit anything. No, they're great classes.
They're like, screw you. No, come after us, bro.
So that's Carol L. Folt, who is now heading up USC. So I say, good hire.
You oversee the worst academic fraud in NCAA history. And what does it get you? Drummed out of North Carolina, but gets you a job at USC.
Now, again, just to reiterate, she got there after all of the scandal. I mean, because that scandal at North Carolina was like 15 years old or 20 years old.
Yes.
Like, they've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
She got there after that. She got there in 2013.
She took over for the guy who had to resign because of the scandal. Yes.
But she was the one that had to handle the defense.
And she was great.
So, yeah, perfect hire for for USC.
I remember that North Carolina.
Why is USC such a mess?
I don't know.
What is their deal?
Well, my guess is you have a lot of Hollywood. There's probably
cooks in the kitchen.
There's probably no other school that has as many, as you said, cooks in the kitchen, right? You're in the middle of LA. I suppose, like, if you had a major university in the middle of New York, I don't know. I don't know if NYU, but NYU isn't really an athletic powerhouse. But think of all the
St. John's could be a basketball one if you want.
Think about all of the Hollywood power players that basically play by their own rules and want to do the same thing. And when it comes to USC, I just feel like that it's the most unique university from that standpoint.
Somebody text the Better You Today text line. Let's answer this question. Is this job an upgrade for this gal?
I would think so.
Well, remember, she got forced out as chancellor at North Carolina, so she was unemployed.
Yeah, and how do you land on your feet? You fall up by landing the president job at USC.
Somebody brought up Texas. That's a good one. I've heard that about because my mom went to Texas, UT, yeah. And we've got some family down there.
Yeah, you hear that people
UT,
meddle.
Man. Well, it's all that oil, all those rich oil guys.
Yeah.
They're in there.
Well, the same. Anytime you've got rich, powerful people that aren't used to being told no, and they have a deep, like, love for that school.
Tennessee's like this, too.
Yeah, I think that there's.
Remember the whole Phil Fulmer thing?
Yeah. There's a lot of people there that think that they know how to run it.
Do you want to know what's missing from USC official Twitter's tweet about this? Her time at North Carolina.
We didn't even put it on.
Starting her academic career at Santa Barbara, working to fund her education as she received her master's, Carol L. Folt, USC's 12th president, embodies the Trojan family spirit of access and academia.
They just brush over.
God, man.
President Folt is known for advancing student access and affordability, promoting research, discovery, and academic excellence, and for steering toward greater accountability. The unanimous choice of USC's Presidential Search Advisory Committee. President Folt will take office as USC's new president July 2019.
That's so generic. Did Mike Francesa write that?
You know, I like the hire could be good, yeah. Could be bad.
Good advocate for students.
I love that they just whitewashed North Carolina.
That's unbelievable. That's like...
It was your last job.
Yeah, but you know what? That's like some marketing guy or PR guy who has to put out a press release and he's going... Oh, crap. They just freaking hire. Like, the board of directors is so out of touch. They're like, oh, this woman's great. And then the PR guy's like, wait, you hired who? The North Carolina scandal. Oh, my God. So he's now got to write something up, and he's just like, F it. I'm just going to leave it out. I'm not even going to address it.
Yeah. Oh, USC's fantastic.
They're a mess.
Yeah, they really are.
And I didn't know how big of a mess they were until, I mean, I guess... I think the whole Pat Hayden thing, I guess maybe we've been following it closer now. But.
Well, even before that, like every AD they hire seems to be a gong show.
Well, What's-His-Nuts was there. The guy before Pat Hayden, he was there for a long time.
Mike Garrett, but Mike Garrett basically did whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah, but they had a lot of success. And like, I don't remember a lot of bad stuff about Garrett. I remember just a mess of stuff about Hayden. Yeah. And then they had the Sark thing. And now they have the Clay Helton deal. And then they hired Lynn Swann as their AD. And he's already on the hot seat.
Well, it's because Lynn Swann doesn't know what he's doing. They were like,
well, they hired him.
I know.
Why did they hire a guy who is never...
Because he went to USC, and I don't know, he's a likable guy.
They're unbelievable.
It's like when Oregon hired Pat Kilkenny to be their AD. It's the same sort of thing. They're like, wait, you're rich and a booster. You want to be our AD? Sure. Remember they were writing down Mike Bellotti's contract on a bar napkin.
You know, the thing about Oregon, though, Oregon's got... Well, if Oregon were bigger and had a bigger alumni base... It would be like this.
It would be an S show.
But... With Oregon, because of the whole Phil Knight thing, you only have a couple of guys.
Yeah.
And they're very influential.
Yes.
But it's not like there's 15 of them or
No, whatever. You got like Kilkenny and you've got Phil Knight. What is it? The guy that started the Pape company. Like there's a handful of people, but you're right. There's just a couple and they get to have their way, but it's not like a feeding frenzy. And I feel like USC just has 1,000 people just chomping at the bit, waiting to get in someone's ear. And
Lori Loughlin. I mean, it goes deep, bro. You're talking about Lori Loughlin and
Felicity
Huffman.
When Aunt Becky's in there, you know, stirring the pot, you know that there's trouble.
I mean, it's so true. Like when you think of it like in iceberg form, like we're all the way under the water down talking about Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. I mean, that just makes you wonder, oh, my God, how much further does this go? Like they're just... I mean, they're just Hollywood, run-of-the-mill Hollywood types. Yeah.
Find me the guy that's in charge of Disney or whatever. What Disney and Fox just closed that. Was it 700 and whatever it was? I'm trying to the amount that the Disney and Fox was acquired. Is it 70 billion?
I didn't see that.
It's like $76 billion. Go find the guy that's in charge of that merger, and he's got some sort of tie to USC.
Good times.
The sort of the people that you're dealing with at USC.
Hey, but you're a USC football fan. You're probably feeling pretty good, right? Well, they got that offensive coordinator. He left.
No,
they still have that. Still have Clay Helton.
Feeling good?
No.
Feeling good about that?
In the news coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I was just looking at USC's list of board of trustees. Somebody said, hey, you wonder why USC's a mess. Take a look at who their board chairman is. And I can't tell who the board chairman is, but I was just looking through the list of the board of trustees. There's like 30 or so people on here, voting members. And, I mean, these are big time ass people.
Yeah.
I mean, heavy
hitters.
Yeah. Well, like Jeannie Buss is on there. Steven Spielberg.
So this is what I was saying. Like, you're dealing with Hollywood power players, probably of a wealth and a fame and a power standpoint that I just don't know how many other places quite have that. And by the way, I referenced that the Disney Fox merger, that was $71 billion that just went down.
Jeez.
You know, I just feel like people out there in LA and that are attached to USC, you're dealing with some yeah. Hollywood power people that are probably a little off center and just not used to not getting their way or caring what anyone else thinks.
The CEO of United Airlines is on there. I mean, like, these are high low. I mean, and then there's this lady who's a community leader named Kathy.
Just Kathy.
She's the boots on the ground.
Cat. They've got her there for profiling purposes.
I don't know. Like, you get in a room with those people, and those people are all smart, and they're all successful, and they know business, and they know academics, and you probably got a wide variety of people in there. That's a very powerful and you know, even in a way, brilliant room. And yet they can't
get out of their own way.
They're so out of touch. It's unbelievable.
I do enjoy that in light of all their troubles, they are raising tuition at USC this year as well.
Yeah, and they announced it right after old Lori gets thrown in handcuffs.
We're going to go ahead and bump up that tuition by a couple grand.
Folks, it is March 20th, 2019. Time for our In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is a very special day for me.
Ooh, what do you got?
This guy, who's got two thumbs.
Well, that'd be
and
you.
Is right over here.
I see a lot of us.
Is that what it is?
I've got two thumbs.
It is Atheist Pride Day.
Is it really?
I'm waving my atheist flag at my house.
You heathen.
Yes. Did you know there was an Atheist Pride
Day? I did not. Although it doesn't.
So be proud.
It doesn't shock me. There's a day for everything.
It's also Great American Meat Out Day.
So get your meat out?
That's kind of where my head went with
that,
it, too.
Is that what we're doing?
I think what it means is usually...
Who wants to get your meat out?
It's usually on the first day of spring, mm-hmm. meaning like, hey, go barbecue.
Is today, or I thought it was yesterday was the
it's
first
today.
Day? Today is the first day of spring?
Yeah. Yeah, spring has become.
The era. The era has become. I got some fish. Does that count?
For what?
Well, I'm grilling tonight. I'm going to break out the Traeger.
Yeah, that qualifies.
Does that qualify as getting my meat on?
Yes.
Who wants to get a meat on?
No, your meat out.
Oh, my meat out. What if I want to get my meat on? I want to get my meat on the grill. I got the Traeger set to go. Going to throw a big piece of salmon on there.
You gonna do the cedar planks?
No, I'm not cedar planking it. Bush League.
Spielberg would.
You don't need a cedar plank when you've got the Traeger. Just throw it on some foil and let the smoke do the delicious cooking.
That is a nice
grill. Got a piece
of
salmon from Costco. Pretty excited about it.
Why do we call it summertime and we call it wintertime, but we don't, or like springtime, but we don't.
Fall time?
Call it fall time. Can you answer that question for me today?
Because I think it just sounds weird. It's a verbal thing. No one wants to, it's fall time. No, it just sounds,
well, say, it sounds weird because we don't say
autumn it. Time either.
Right. It sounds weird because we don't say it. I mean, the others, it's no different. They're all the same.
No, because one, there's a ring to it. That's springtime. It's
so
summertime.
You think somewhere along the
fall
way,
time.
We collectively decided, oh, fall time sounds really stupid.
See, I don't think we collectively
so we
said it. I think it's just every time you said it, you're like, that sounds dumb. Just call it fall.
Okay.
I think it just was a naturally occurring thing. You let the river flow where the river wants to go. Springtime sounded good. Fall time didn't.
Oh. The reason why the guy was texting about the Board of Trustees chairman, that's the Rick Caruso guy, and he's the one that had Lori Loughlin's daughter on his boat.
Oh, that's right.
So he was probably trying to get in her pants.
Yeah, he had the yacht out there, and Loughlin's daughter, by the way, is hot.
Super hot.
And dumber than a sack of hammers. but, hey, yeah, she was supposedly best friends with the president of the Board of Trustees. It's on a yacht like in Italy.
Shocking.
I know.
Although I don't see his name on this list. Anyway, okay. Why is Oregon Live asking me if I'd rather have sunny weather or spring showers? Can you answer that question for me?
Really?
Yeah, it's online there.
Who is asking for spring showers?
Yeah, who prefers spring showers to sunny weather?
I think a lot of people do because they said last year the spring showers won.
What?
On Oregon Live. I know, it's blasphemy. Hell, this is the most shocking thing we've said all day.
So you could have 82 and sunny, or you could have 68 and rainy?
Yeah.
What?
I think a lot of Oregonians like the rain. They like the spring showers.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard.
Green things up.
In a long, long time.
Hey, what's with this story? Let's go down to Beaverton. Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
Primetime Beaverton. I bring this story to you because I'm... You don't often hear... It just usually doesn't happen this way, and it blows my mind. So there was a kid who was 13 years old out in Beaverton walking home from school.
Okay.
And a young guy in his 20s, and there is a picture of him. Mike Benner is all over this story from KGW.
Of course Mike Benner's on it.
There is a picture of this guy because of the doorbell cam, you know, that they have at this kid's house.
Yeah.
This guy stops the 13-year-old boy and he says, "Hey, can I use your bathroom?" And the kid's like, "Yeah." And so he goes in and he uses the bathroom and he comes out and he grabs the boy inappropriately.
Ooh.
Yeah, not good, right?
No, that's all bad.
So the kid stops him and says, "Hey, you need to leave." So the guy did. So I'm fascinated by this story because...
How old's the boy?
13. So the guy just left, and now they're looking for him. This is the weirdest story for so many reasons. Like, because normally, don't you think...
my mind is blown.
So, and this guy's a 20-year-old. He's a 20-year-old normal-looking guy. Yeah. He looks like he's of maybe Filipino. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but he's got a bunch of Nike gear on, and he just looks like a normal dude. And I've always thought, like, if you're capable of that, like, if you're a predator like that...
Sure.
You're not leaving, like, right? Like, no. you are...
Well, one would think, like, if I...
So he just went, the kid said, "Hey, get out of here," and the guy's like... Yeah, you know what? I probably should get out of here.
So in your mind, you're like, all right, I've got an idea here. I'm going to sexually assault someone, right?
Right, not funny, but...
I made up my mind.
I know where you're going.
I'm going to assault someone today. And then right as I start the sexual assault, all that it takes to stop me is someone to say, "No." I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of sexual assault.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just so bizarre that's... I don't know.
It's often like the...
It blows my mind because I think that I didn't think that person existed.
No.
Right? Like, the person who's kind of a touchy-feely guy. You know what I mean?
Self-aware sexual assaulter? Like, they're aware of the assault, but they're aware that the assault is wrong, and all they need is someone to say no, and they're like, "Yeah, you're right." You know what? Valid point.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. What I just did is inappropriate.
I probably should go.
Have a good day.
Yeah, all right. And we'll see you later.
So weird. He also asked him... Well, he requested an act from the boy.
Oh.
He declined.
Yeah.
But he told him to leave. And so now they're looking for this guy. And his picture's online. Huh. You know, he's in some hot water now. But
people on the text line are saying that he turned himself in.
Oh, he did. See, even more mind-blowing.
Yeah, he's like, "You know what? I did do that, and I'd like to be punished for it." Wow. So basically what we need is more criminals like this. If you're going to be a criminal, be this kind of criminal. That feels bad, is easily stopped by someone telling you no, and then you turn yourself in. It means do away with the police.
Such a weird story.
Well, I always thought this about, too, like the bathrooms, right? We had the big controversy, like if you have the gender-neutral bathroom or whatever, because then what you can do is you can have the sex predators dress up and then just go into whatever bathroom they want. It's that same sort of argument, which I've always laughed. So, like, if I'm a predator, right, and I want to go into the bathroom where your girl's at, like your 10-year-old girl, because I want to go in and I want to be a creepy guy, the only thing that's stopping me from going into your bathroom to do that is the sign on the door that says "women only." Like, I'm like, I would like to go in there and do some creepy stuff, but I can't because I'm a man and the sign says "women only," therefore I can't go in. It's like a magic barrier that stops me. That was what happened here. The kid put up the magic barrier and was like, "No." And the guy respected it.
So weird.
That's a hell of a thing.
So weird.
By the way, I just saw this because I was looking at this story on KGW.
Yep.
The Amber Alert, canceled. Missing girl, safe.
Told you.
Yeah. She's okay.
I knew that.
She was from Idaho.
And she was here? Like somebody abducted her from Idaho? Or she walked over here?
I think
it was her own mom or family member.
Which is what we...
Yeah, divorce.
What we talked about. A lot of these things, unfortunately... Well, I guess not unfortunately. It's better than like being randomly kidnapped. But a lot of them are like custody issues. But she is fine. She was from Napa, Idaho. And she was located in Cheney, Washington.
So do you think that the politically correct pedophile gets a lighter, charge here? Because he was like, "Oh, I'll show myself out. Thank you." You know?
I'm guessing there's probably some... Look, he's gonna, I mean, he's been arrested and you can't go around grabbing things, but.
Right. That's the next question is like, what do we do with this guy here?
Well, you probably get him some help.
Especially if he has no, if he has no record.
Yeah, you get him some counseling to get him some help. So clearly the dude's got issues, but clearly he also knows that what he's doing is wrong and maybe he doesn't want to be doing it. So.
Right.
I don't know. I do think you give him a lighter sentence and.
Yeah, there's hope for the guy.
Yeah, try to get him some help and some counseling and.
Interesting.
You know?
Well, that was out at Southwest 170th and Sorolla Street, right near Mike's big giant house.
The palatial Mike Lynch estate?
Out in Beaverton. So watch out, Mike.
Yeah, be careful.
But they got this. He turned himself in.
And if it happens, hand up, say no.
Bad idea. Bid for your kid's teacher. Next on In the News on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is In the News for March 20th, 2019. One more story for you before we get to the Hot 5 at 5. This from a Portland elementary school. The name of it is Markham Elementary School. They had their big fundraiser on March 2nd.
Sure.
Those things are the worst, where you got to go and raise money for your kids'
school. I told you that my daughter's band, but the middle school band was having a mattress sale.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I have.
We get a follow-up on the mattress?
I have no idea, but I was blown away that that was someone's idea of it.
Right.
You could show up at the Weiss Middle School parking lot and buy like a Serta like sleeper bed. Or something to raise money for the band. That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Is this a worse idea? Because as part of Markham Elementary School's fundraiser back on March 2nd, parents got to bid on their child's teacher for the next year.
So like what class?
No, what teacher their kid got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
The money has been refunded after this completely upset all parents and teachers. Pretty much universally. Except for the one guy who bid the most and got the teacher.
The one guy that was really rich. That is honestly the most... That's so stupid.
It's really bad.
So, so dumb.
So, right?
Here's the story. You want the best teacher? Great. All you got to do, pony up for it.
Bidding on teachers is something the teachers union said should never have been allowed. This story first reported by The Oregonian. It's similar to the scandal that's happening right now with the sports and the celebrities who have paid their way for their kids to get into these Ivy League schools on a non-scholarship, essentially, said parent Amy McAllister. I feel like that creates a divide between the kids. This isn't a private school. It's a public school. Everybody should be entitled to equal education. You shouldn't be able to pay their way into better classrooms.
Although, what does that say if, like, you've got, like, good teachers? Like, what grade is this? Is this just all
elementary? Well, it's elementary, so K through 6, maybe?
So is there, like, a fourth grade teacher that's really good and the rest of them are bums?
Well, I don't know, but I think that was... I mean, like, look, we were all there at one point.
Sure.
You remember the teachers that you wanted and the teachers that had the rep and the teacher that had the bad rep.
Let's ask you this. What is Isaac Ropp willing, when Meat was in the fifth grade, what are you willing to pony up in order for Meat to get the teacher he wants? Because I'm going to say mine's at about $29.95.
Oh, I was going to go 40.
Yeah.
I'd do 40.
Yeah, 40
I'd probably
bucks.
Come to those events prepared to donate 40 to 100 bucks.
Yeah.
Depending on how many drinks I have.
Anything above that, look, sorry, son, you're getting whatever is left.
But, I don't know.
How about we give you the nice middle grade one? I don't want to put you with the old cranky lady that's bitchy all the time. But I'll tell you what, I'm not...
Mrs. Birch.
Yeah, I'm not ponying up. Ours was Mrs. Rogers. I'm not ponying up like 600 bucks so that you could get Mr. Hoffman, who was like singing Kumbaya and was like super nice.
I mean, who thought this was a good idea? I mean, good grief.
I know.
It's like, I mean, like that woman, the McAllister, the parent who was quoted on there, like that shouldn't have to be said.
No.
But it is.
Someone said, imagine being the teacher who didn't get any bids, right?
Well, then you know.
Yeah, you know.
Well, but don't those teachers know?
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe it's like Mr. Hand. He views that as a badge of honor, right?
Don't you know your rep as a teacher?
I think there's a lot of teachers that are just an ass to be an ass, right? Like we all had that guy.
They want to be the tough teacher.
Yeah. It's like there are no free rides here.
It's like the cop that's overly coppy.
Exactly.
Get off your high horse, dude.
Got his tactical pants tucked into his boots. Everything shined up like he's ready to invade Poland. Settle down there, chief, all right?
I just jaywalked.
200. You had to bring that up. I still, to this day.
I jaywalked the other day and I thought of you.
$250 freaking for a jaywalking ticket.
You know what? Your jaywalking story about that ticket, That made me think twice about jaywalking.
Yes.
Now, I did it anyway, but I did look around.
You wanted to double check?
I did. I double checked for cops.
And make sure there wasn't a bike cop rolling up on you?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that jaywalking ticket. I knew there were cops around. I didn't think anything of it. It's a street full of bars. There weren't any cars coming. I even did the, I'm going to scoot across the street like that scoot run where you're moving even faster than a normal walk. Ridiculous.
The PTA and Portland Public Schools have since apologized. It was really offensive to the educators there. It felt very hurtful. It really undermined them. It put teachers up on the auctioning block, which is just disgusting, said another parent. Markham Elementary School's PTA said a parent came up with the idea of parents in each grade to bid on their child's teachers for the following year. In a statement, the PTA said the spur-of-the-moment idea was approved by the principal, Sean Garnett. However, after the auction, teachers expressed concerns about whether it was equitable, which is even worse. Like, they didn't catch it until after, and like, oh, you know what?
Maybe not the best idea.
My God.
Someone said, can you take it a step further and auction off a date with the hot single teacher? Like, it's always the art teacher, maybe the band teacher.
That'd get a little awkward with all the married dads.
Oh, no, no. Oh. I'm just trying to help out the class. What? Find those auctions. Have you ever been involved in one of those?
An auction?
Yeah, like an auction when you auction off someone.
Someone? A person?
Well, you know, they do that. Like, they do the date. You know, you get that person for 24 hours.
No.
I've never seen one of those, but, like, supposedly they happen. Like, when you have the bachelor auction or whatever. Or maybe that's just in movies and TV shows. Because I've never seen one in person.
Do you want to know how much they bid? Real quick, and then we'll go.
Yeah, what was the top bid?
Ultimately, at the end of it, they said six parents. So there was a bidding war. The parents were like, yes!
I want this.
Six parents bid a total of $1,300 in order to pick their kids' teachers.
$1,300. And really, that's...
I mean, there was buy-in. I mean, people were like, yeah, let's bring it.
I got disposable income. Let's make it happen.
$1,200, $1,300, $1,350.
Little paddles.
Good times. All right.
Should just be allowed to crumple up the dollars and throw them at the teachers. Just making it rain. The teacher up on the lighted stage, Pirates Cove style.
So what we learned there is people with the most money will get what they want.
Yeah. USA! USA! I feel like that's a good life lesson, though.
Why?
Well, again, if you've got money, you can do what you want.
Okay, that is in the news for March 20th, 2019. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We do have more NCAA tournament action tonight, sort of. We have the latest on Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner. He's going to go down swinging. And some NFL signings next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.